This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to Pop Goes to the Couch here on the Place to Be Nation Pop Experience feed. I am one of your co-hosts, Andy Atherton, and welcome to our breakdown of WandaVision. This episode, we're talking about episode 3, now in color. A lot of stuff happened in this episode. We moved forward a little bit. Some things are starting to become into focus, so to speak. And let's break it down with the guys. The whole crew is here. And let me introduce them. First up, Sean Kidd. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Good evening, Andy. It's good, as always, to be back. And yes, like you said, quite a bit of stuff to dissect and kind of filter through tonight. So Look forward to it.
Yeah, it was quite the episode. Also joining us is Scott Shiflett. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Andy, I'm doing great. We'll be tackling this as quickly as Wanda gave birth.
Yeah, it was quite amazing. And also rounding out our quartet, Tim Capel. Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Thank you very much. I appreciate that you bring me in last. I like to think that I'm not in the opening credits of this show that we all do together. I am a recurring recurring character, if you will. And while I am recurring, I do appear in every episode. I just haven't made it to the opening credits yet. I'm okay with that.
You're like everybody except for the four people who got credit in The Office open. They were on every episode. We never got them in the credits until like the last one. Now we give you the and, you know, have people get the and.
I do like the and billing.
See, Tim, I think you're the and billing, like in Melrose Place when it said at the end, and Heather Locklear.
Special guest star, Heather Locklear.
Oh, yeah, you're like Heather Locklear. Yes.
I wouldn't consider myself a special guest star. You know, I need to be with the show for longer, you know, to get that billing. I haven't helped it out enough yet. Not
they haven't killed you off, so.
They haven't killed me off. Yeah, I'm not in that Heather tier quite yet. Or she saved the show. This show doesn't need saving. It's fantastic on its own.
Well, we do plan to kill you off, but then we're going to, you know, in the next season, we're going to reveal that it was actually a dream.
That's
been the plan. Sorry, I didn't mean to pull back the curtain and break kayfabe there.
If it gives me a break, you know, God, somebody's got to.
Yeah, I'll tell you. All right, so anyway, so this is a, you know, a little bit of a change here. We get color, as in the title says. So the episode begins with a 1970s TV credits sequence as Wanda and Vision prepare for the birth of their son. We meet Dr. Stan Nielsen. He visits the couple's home, and checks on Wanda's health. He assures Wanda that she is pregnant, and Vision is surprised that it happened so fast. Wanda is 4 months pregnant, and Dr. Nielsen explains the size of the fetus in terms of fruit. Vision asks if they should be hypothetically concerned, and Nielsen tells him that first-time fathers tend to be nervous. As Vision takes the doctor out, he says that he is taking his wife on vacation later that afternoon. Vision asks the doctor to keep the news of Wanda's pregnancy a secret for the time being, and he actually agrees. As Nielsen leaves, Vision glances over and sees his neighbor Herb cutting through the concrete dividing wall with his chainsaw. Neither Vision nor Herb knows anything unusual, and Herb just keeps cutting away, and Vision points it out. So, yeah, there was a lot. We definitely move into the 70s here. With the open, it's very reminiscent of the Brady Bunch, Partridge Family. There's some Mary Tyler Moore in there, the Monkees, Three's Company, Locks of Hexagon. So, Sean, break down like the opening credit sequence and then the beginning of the episode where Dr. Nielsen is there talking about the pregnancy.
I enjoyed the opening, the 70s theme, very, like you said, very Brady Bunch. So I did enjoy that immensely. I was also laughing at the doctor comparing pregnancy to fruit. And Vision, you know, kind of try like the sense of humor around Vision. Well, you know, I guess he said, well, it looks like you're about, 4 months along? And Vision goes, well, what about 12 hours? Should I be worried? And I thought that was pretty funny. So I really enjoyed it. And then the first scene you talked about outside with the neighbor where he's cutting through the wall, that was kind of the first layup in this one where like, okay, something's not right here because here he is. He's hedge clipping and he's going through the wall. So immediately, you know, right from the start, you start seeing like little twists and things around this stuff's not right. Even though the fact that she's 4 months pregnant already, you already know stuff's not right. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good opening.
Yeah, you see the kind of the painted background, I guess. Is Herb glitching out? I don't know. Scott, what do you think of the first the open and then the beginning of the episode with the scene with the doctor?
So out of the shows that you had mentioned, I had only seen the Brady Bunch, so I was definitely getting Brady Bunch vibes from the the credits opening sequence. So I enjoyed that. Also loved that the inside of the house had changed to more of like what I assume the 70s would look like.
It's right out of the Brady Bunch, the stairs, the rock wall, everything.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that. And like, you know, they've changed like Vision's hairstyle. It's more like 70s hippie type. So I definitely enjoyed that. And I did enjoy that the doctor's name was Dr. Stan Nielsen, which Nielsen ratings. I definitely felt that was, you know, little ribbing on the square, as they say. But I like with her being pregnant and like, you know, they were doing like the 70s jokes where the woman's not that bright. So they're like, we try to make it sound like when you're this much pregnant, it equates to fruit because they're around food all day. And I was like, geez, you know, that's a real sexist joke, but it would have been the norm in 70s TV shows. And definitely it felt like someone's either trying to break in to maybe where they're at with Herb cutting the wall, you know, and he's trying to do hedge clippers. Something's definitely amiss.
Yeah, she's very also the hairstyle changed to very Marsha Brady like.
Very Hachi.
Yes. Sean, do you feel old now that Scott only seen one of the shows I mentioned?
No, because you just brought up Marsha Brady and she was also very Hachi. So thank you for comparing her because now I can see Wanda and Marsha together in my own universe.
With Amanda LaRusso coming in.
With Amanda LaRusso.
So, Tim, break down give us your thoughts on the open and then this beginning of the episode.
So I definitely got Brady Bunch and Mary Tyler Moore from those opening credits. The other shows, I mean, I'm let's just say I'm more familiar with 70s sitcoms than Scott, but probably not as familiar as you and Sean would be. And that's a fair compromise, I think. Notice the squares of the Brady Bunch opening theme replaced with I guess hexagons here in WandaVision. So hexagons, why hexagons do we think? Kind of evocative of maybe a beehive. Going back to that beekeeper and the bee imagery from the last episode, right? Maybe. I said on our last episode that I wanted to see some 70s house porn, and this did not disappoint. God, that Brady Bunch staircase, man, so cool. Just lifted it right out of the show, plopped it into this world that we are enjoying so much now. Right away, you're just totally immersed. And the hedge clippers, wow, what's that all about? So cutting through the rock wall or the sort of facade, I don't know, like there's a lot of imagery, a lot of symbolism you could read into that. Perhaps he's cutting through walls in the same way that this phenomenon that we're witnessing is cutting through walls between dimensions. I don't know, but there certainly seemed to be something to that beyond just the fact of Herb glitching out.
Man, Tim coming in hot and deep tonight already.
Yeah, I mean, right away, it gives you a lot, I feel. I think after we got through those first two episodes where it's sort of those felt like the training wheels. Now it's like, okay, you know what our setup is. You know how this is going to go. We're diving through decades, revisiting sitcom tropes, but all this plot and all these little hints are going to come at you hot and heavy, hopefully, from here on out.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Vision goes back inside, discovers that Wanda is now even more pregnant than she was before the doctor had left. Later, Wanda's using her magic to assemble the crib while Vision reads a book on pregnancy. The butterflies on the mobile that Wanda puts over the crib come to life as she has butterflies in her stomach. And Wanda and Vision realize that Wanda is now 6 months pregnant. He's glad to soon see their son, Billy. And Wanda says she was thinking of the name Tommy. They disagree on a name and Vision calculates that Wanda will have her baby in 3 days. Later, Vision is practicing changing a baby doll he's practicing a diaper. Wanda has a false labor, and Vision suggests that they work on their breathing exercises. As Wanda has false contractions, the lights flicker and the water in the sink bubbles. As they get out of the kitchen, the effects stop, and Vision checks on the neighbors at the Jones house. Dottie asks her husband, Phil, if the earrings look fat. The lights go out before he can answer, and he says, thank God. All right, Scott, so we get a little more into this. Wanda's more pregnant as we speak, and we start to see like her magic kind of uncontrollably a little with the butterflies. So what do you think of this part of the episode?
It's definitely concerning, because during the, you know, when they were talking, when Wanda and Vision were talking, they were like saying, oh, we don't want the neighbors to find out, but if she's controlling this and it's destroying everything within the neighborhood, I think they're going to find out, because she's still under the facade that no one knows what's going on. But as we've seen, something is going on. Definitely as we get further in the episode, I think, like, you know, we're in the coming weeks, we're going to see that everyone's in on whatever it is except for Vision. Mm-hmm. I did like Dottie, you know, asking if like the earrings make her look fat, and then her husband saying, thank God. But it was nice to see like the lights flickering, because she's having the Braxton Hicks false contractions. The namings of the what they want to call the kids is interesting, because I did do some research after this, and I think I'm sure Tim and Sean will know this more, but those names were used for kids that she had in the comics. So they are staying true to the content.
Yeah, and he reads also from Shakespeare as well. Tim, unpack this part of the episode.
So I found this whole sequence, this scene where we're kind of progressing, fast-forwarding through her pregnancy, like low-key horrifying, actually. Because it seems to break even the established rules as we understand them of this universe that has been presented to us. We already know that she has these magical powers in this sitcom world, and that Vision is indeed a synthesoid. We kind of accept that as fact and just go with it. But here we're seeing the characters actually acknowledge, like, this really shouldn't be possible. Like, I shouldn't be able to get pregnant. Like, we shouldn't be able to reproduce together. And why am I suddenly 6 months pregnant now? Why is this all happening so fast? Why is it happening at all? And, I mean, we just kind of accepted that, took it as read. In that second episode at the end where we saw, oh, okay, she's got a baby bump now. But as we actually see it play out, I'm like, this is extremely unsettling. And the fact that the characters are sort of remarking on it, it tells you that this is vastly different from what we've seen before and come to accept about this world.
All right. Sean, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, just when she, the butterflies are created, I think she like creates a live stork out of the wall art. So it's her creating life. And so it's almost very similar to what's going on with her creating the babies and maybe creating this whole world she's in. So kind of more clues there, I think, under the radar a little bit. It's weird. They're both acting like it's no big deal. And like, I think as an audience, if you're watching this, you're kind of just stuck in the story moment and you really need to step back and think. You know, if you think about the Avengers movies that Wanda and Vision were in, we never saw Wanda's power to a big, huge, extreme level to the point where she can create life, make herself pregnant. Like, this is like big stuff right here that I think maybe a lot of people are not or might be taken for granted, because if you read the comics, you know the extent of Wanda's powers. If you didn't, I don't think the Avengers movies really gave you a lot of that. But now you're starting to see it here. And the fact that they're accepting this fast progression of pregnancy as normal is definitely not normal, but they are. And I wonder if maybe some of the audience that watches this is like, well, you know, this is kind of expected. She's got powers. But I think this is like a huge moment here that I don't think we should underestimate. And I also, to the point of Scott, the two kids, that is their name. And again, people that have read the comics know long term, they go on to be in the Young Avengers down the road. So it also brings to life that, are we going to see these two once they're born, around two or one or whatever, when they're born, are we going to see them grow up as this series progresses? So I think there's a lot to unpack in just this short amount of time.
Yeah, Mm-hmm. A lot going on. So Vision comes back and tells Wanda the power is out throughout the neighborhood. Wanda wonders if the people in Westview are on the verge of discovering their secret. And Vision figures that it's more than that. He figures out something is wrong and warns that they are in uncharted waters. Wanda wonders if the baby will be human or synthesoid. And Vision assures her that it will be perfect, just like Wanda. Wanda then goes into labor and uncontrollably levitates Vision in the air. She realizes she's doing it, lowers her husband, and together they breathe until the contractions pass. It starts raining inside, and Wanda tells Vision that her water just broke. And then we get a commercial for Hydra Soak bath flakes. So, Tim, you know, pregnancy has come to a full term here in just a matter of minutes, and then we get this interesting commercial. So, what do you think of this part of the episode?
I'll start with the commercial. Calgon, take me away.
Yes.
I understood that reference. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit before my time, but somehow that's one that somehow I got right away. I don't even know how or why I got it, but I did. And I didn't read too much into that. Once again, we see the somewhat unusual sponsor hinting at maybe there's a hand behind the scenes here, manipulating or capitalizing on events, but just the idea of, you know, take me away, like an escape from reality, sort of a daydream or a fantasy. That was the idea behind the actual commercial itself, and is just sort of built into the version that we get here. So I didn't think that one was too hard to crack. Maybe there's more to it, but I don't know. I didn't break my brain thinking about that one too much. And
well,
this
before you go forward, there was one thing I forgot to mention. The little glitch that happens, too, in this little section. That, you know, yeah. Where people – literally, my daughter was like, is there something wrong with our Wi-Fi? A lot of people thought that. So let me add that into your thoughts.
Yeah, so Vision actually glitches out. And this, I felt like, should not be confused with what we saw at the end of the second episode where – Wanda witnesses the beekeeper coming out of the sewer, and it literally like rewinds, and we get like a do-over. This is not what happened. It did not reverse itself. It was almost like something was clipped out of the scene. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like they pressed pause and kept going or edited something out, because it seemed like maybe he was onto something that he shouldn't have been. Once more, I am thinking there's got to be somebody behind the scenes here who wants this thing to play out and wants these characters to be in the dark as much as possible. Real sense of foreboding throughout all of this. And I think this gets at what I said earlier and what Sean followed up on. It's the contrast between what's actually happening and how it's being presented. So you've got Wanda, who is multiple months pregnant now, and her acknowledges that her water breaks. There's all kinds of insanity going on around her. The power going out, the rainstorm indoors flooding their house. And of course, what do we get? We get the laugh track, because this is a sitcom. But even within like the heightened reality that is just any sitcom, this is going farther than that. It's setting up again, that contrast between what's happening and how it's being presented to us. That is just extremely unnerving to me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sean, give us your thoughts on, you know, we have the little glitch here, the rain inside, and the commercial for the Hydra's soap bath flakes.
Tim framed it up really well on a commercial, my same thoughts, so I won't go too much deeper into what he said. We could dissect commercials all day long, but I think he said it right, and I'm sure at some point those commercials are going to intersect with something that's going on in this show. So the glitch from Vision, very reminiscent to what happened with the beekeeper in the last episode. I'm curious if – and it makes me wonder if Wanda is controlling this or if someone – controlling Wanda to control this. And that's kind of where my head is at. I'm like, Tim, I think there's something behind the scenes there that is going to play out long term. But the curiosity for me is if Wanda knows what she's doing or if someone's kind of the puppeteer with her and what she's doing. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, when she reacts to something, the whole, you know, the power going out, the water breaking, obviously what affects her is affecting this reality of her world and this neighborhood that they're in this universe. So whatever happens to her happens to this universe. So, yeah, so interesting stuff. Like, there's a lot of small things have happened much, much faster in this episode than in the last two.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Scott, what about you?
Yeah, I got really nothing on the commercial, but I disagree with Sean and Tim. I think she's controlling it, but she gives Vision a little bit of free will. And when he was about to figure it out, she's like, nah, I got to run this back. And that's how she was able to do like the quick cut edit right there. Mm-hmm. Because he was like, what do you think's going on? Because he brought up everything that had happened in the first two episodes. And, you know, and then like she like was like, nah, just quick mind wipe type thing. Because she, you know, she doesn't want to, she wants to have the Vision that she loved, not like some mindless zombie that just does everything that she wants. So I think it's that, as Sean was saying, with like, I love like when her water broke, it was raining inside the house and everything. And it was just, I don't know, it felt like real campy, which a lot of 70s TV shows are, in my opinion. So it was like right on track with that. It was something, I think, I know we talked about it last week with like Bewitched or something. I'm sure Bewitched was pregnant, which I think she might have been in the last seasons, but that if they would have done something like that, if that would have been allowed back then, now it's just like, oh, she, you know, her water breaks and it's like, oh, it's gonna rain, get it, ha ha ha. So but yeah, definitely interesting, but I definitely think Wanda's in full control over this.
Yeah, one thing, I mean, I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and when I was doing some research, I found out, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to remember this part, but there's a part where Agent Coulson is talking about this mind control soap that he is, and he started making his own soap when he was in when he was captive. So
and they get away, kind of like the whole Tahiti thing with him, mm-hmm. or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right.
It's continue. Now the only thing I want to add something. I was mm-hmm. like, I do think that Wanda's controlling it. My point is there someone behind the scenes manipulating her behind the scenes that she might not necessarily be aware of? Or this isn't just like, that's my point. She is in control, but is there something manipulating at a broader level? I guess is where I'm going with it.
Yeah. Is somebody controlling her?
That's kind of where I am too. I think that's the twist, is that there is someone who knew this was going to happen, or maybe is leading her along, and she thinks she's in control. Now, I think maybe this has run away from her a little bit. I think she doesn't even, at this point, within the world as it exists, like, I don't know that she's consciously aware that she's created this. Again, she maybe shot herself into a work, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's a shoot, pal.
but on some level, seems to be aware of, like, this is an illusion, but it's something that I really desire and that I prefer to my reality, so I'm going to do everything to keep it going. And she's being helped along by somebody, I feel like. Whether she's aware of that intervention or not, that's the question that I have. And I think that's what's going to be the ultimate twist once we get there.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the one that they're keeping up their sleeve, but we'll get to it, I'm sure.
Okay. All right, so Wanda and Vision take shelter from the rain beneath the table. The rain stops and Wanda summons a breeze to blow dry the furniture. Vision calls the doctor, but the lines are down and realizes that he probably left for his vacation. He super speeds out to get the doctor before he leaves. Wanda has more contractions and hears a noise in the nursery. She starts to go in there, but then the doorbell rings. She puts on a coat to hide her pregnancy and then opens the door, and it's Geraldine, and wonders why Wanda's wearing a coat. She comes in and says that she has to borrow a bucket because all the pipes in her ceiling burst at once. Wanda goes to get a bucket from the kitchen, and her coat changes as she has more contractions. She quickly takes off the coat and tosses it on the patio door as Geraldine comes in to help look for the bucket. Wanda then holds a bowl of fruit in front of her stomach to hide her pregnancy, and Geraldine finds the bucket, takes an apple from the bowl, and starts to leave. Before she goes, Geraldine starts talking about her temp job. Wanda isn't interested, but Geraldine tells Geraldine to tell her to distract her from the stork walking past. While Wanda tries to make the stork disappear in a cloud of red smoke and finally scares it away by throwing an orange at it, Geraldine hears it, and Wanda says it's the sound of her new ice maker. The stork comes back and nibbles at Geraldine's pant leg, and then runs off before she can see it. Geraldine finally finishes her story by asking for something out of the spare room. When Geraldine goes in, the stork poses in front of the painting of the stork on the wall. Geraldine sees the crib and realizes that Wanda is having a baby and is surprised to learn that Wanda is pregnant. All right, so Sean, a stork appears and can't go away. And a lot of classic tropes with hiding pregnancies and Geraldine and nosy neighbor. So instead of Agnes, actually, this time, break this down.
Yeah, so, Vision rushes out to go get to the doctor. We'll get to that in a little bit because he kind of breaks some kayfabe in that whole scenario. Geraldine coming in and, you know, the bowl in front of her stomach to hide her pregnancy, the fruit. And, you would think that Geraldine right away would understand. Well, first off, Geraldine would have to understand something's wrong considering they've jumped ahead another decade since our last episode. So Geraldine, you think these people in this universe would get that? So that's another interesting thing to think about. So it's just, she's hiding a pregnancy. Well, what about the bigger deal where Geraldine is now 10 years older than she was, a day ago? So, there's some thought there instead of hiding the pregnancy. But, so typical sitcom tropes here. And the stork coming out of the wall, again, kind of a symbolism to me that Wanda is creating life. You know, we talked about the butterflies. Now you have the stork. And now she's got this baby that she created that's going to be coming out into the world, too. So, again, just a lot to unpack in, like, literally 5 minutes of television.
Mm-hmm. All right. Scott, what are your thoughts?
Getting Geraldine there, you know, because we met her in the second episode, I wanted to see more of her, especially because she's supposed to be the daughter from Captain America, her friend, Rebinoe, I believe is her name. I can't pronounce it.
Captain Marvel.
It's Rambo, like First Blood.
Yeah, Rambo. Okay.
I like Rebinoe.
Yeah, but... Sorry, so we see more of her because I found it interesting with that because, you know, that had already, I don't know if it's like just something we had read because like, you know, four of us are all nerds here and knew who she was, but like, you know, people who's not watching the show as in depth or just picking it up might not know. So I just want to see more of her and learn more about her backstory. So it was nice to see her. I liked all, like Sean said, with the tropes of like, that's how they hide pregnant women in TV shows is like, you know, they're wearing coats. There's always something in front of their stomach, stuff like that. This was brought to my attention though. There's a lot of red in this episode. I know Wanda usually wears red, but even the stork, like when it was shot with smoke, it was red smoke that came from the stork when it came. Is there any significance to that? Or am I just overthinking, which is prone with this show?
I mean, it could be. I mean, she is Scarlet Witch and, you know, yeah. She is red. I mean, there could be something to it, so I don't think you're overstretching the thought.
There is one very big red bad guy that fan theories. I mean...
And Sean theory, too, by the way.
Okay, so you're getting behind. Yeah.
Well, why can't she get rid of the stork? That's the thing, too.
That's a good question, too. Mm-hmm. She can't get rid of it after she has conjured it or created it, whatever it is.
So, Tim, on to you, though, to break down this this part of the episode.
I was a little bit disappointed, on one hand, that the nosy neighbor who's overly invested in Wanda's pregnancy and her overall well-being was not Agnes, because that would further my my Rosemary's Baby comparison and analogy with the, what are the neighbors called in that movie? The Cassavetes, right? And Ruth Gordon's old ass. Hey, you're gonna have the baby.
You can reference that movie every episode, and it'll pop me every time.
Love that. So we didn't see that, but we did get Geraldine, who is looking very mod now here in the 70s, like that. So that works pretty well, too. I mean, there's all this sitcom hijinks playing out, trying to hide the pregnancy, all well and good. But we want to know more about Geraldine, given who she is or who we think she is. What's she doing here? What does she know? What does she not know? And for her to end up being kind of the one who is going to be in the know feels pretty significant. So I liked... And this, again, felt more like a Mary Tyler Moore episode or subplot than something like Brady Bunch. I don't know. I just got that feel from it. But I, like Scott, am pretty invested now in Geraldine and just where they're going with this character.
Yeah, she's kind of cosplaying like the daughter from Good Times. Mm. You know, she's a dead ringer, actually, as I'm watching it right now in the background. So Vision finds the doctor at home. He's still working on his car. He picks the doctor up and super speeds him to his home and to tend to Wanda. Geraldine then makes Wanda comfortable on the couch while everyone in the house starts going crazy. Starts going crazy. Wanda says she can't do it, and Geraldine assures her she can. She tells Wanda to push. Wanda does so. Everything stops, and Wanda gives birth, and Geraldine holds up a baby boy, then gives it to Wanda. Vision arrives with Nielsen and smiles at his wife and child. Geraldine takes the doctor to the kitchen to give Wanda and Vision some time alone. Once they're alone, Vision drops his human disguise so his son can meet his father as himself and names it Tommy. Wanda then gives birth to a second child. When Nielsen returns with Geraldine, he assures that the couple, they have two healthy baby boys in their hands. Vision walks the doctor out, and Wanda thanks Geraldine for her help. One thing that the doctor does say, we're not going to go on our vacation. Small towns, so hard to escape. That line kind of stood out at me. And then Vision tells Nielsen, lost my place. He leaves, and then Vision notices that Agnes and Herb are talking to each other over by the wall. Vision goes over and they act normally, and then Agnes asks if Geraldine is with Wanda. Wanda and Geraldine look at the infants in her crib. Actually, let me pause there because a lot of big stuff's about to happen. So, Scott, we'll go to you. So we're talking about, Vision runs to go get the doctor to bring him back. Wanda goes into labor and has the twins, and the doctor gives that line about the small town's hard to escape. So what do you think of what happened here?
Well, I liked how this is just something I would feel they would do on shows in the 70s and the 80s. They had her give birth behind the couch. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was pretty funny. But then, she has twins, which the doctor, evaluating it earlier, just like, oh, you're gonna have a healthy baby boy, and then you see the twins and they're named Tommy and Billy, and I liked how he said 10 fingers, 10 toes, these babies are normal, which we know they're not because they were literally conceived 18 hours ago, so we know something's off. The leaving the small town comment by the doctor was really, the way he phrased it was really creepy, and something was up. And then, to see Agnes and Herb gossiping, and when they go over there, they try to act like everything is normal. It's something's amiss. And we're about to get into real kind of terrifying times coming up in this episode. But it was just setting the stage for what is truly about to come.
All right, Tim, birth of the twins, and then we see Agnes and Herb talking outside.
So on Agnes and Herb, it's interesting that we get a sense that they have some sort of life or some kind of agency outside of their interactions with Wanda and Vision. I'm not sure that we had gotten that sense with them before. They were truly supporting characters in every definition of the term. mm-hmm. But apparently there may be more to them than what we see on the surface. And what are they gossiping about? What could this be? Maybe more on that later. That Vision is pretty much exposing his secret, which is something it feels like a big development for this show and for the universe within the show. Even though Wanda and Vision have their powers and use them quite liberally, they seem to be keeping them a secret from their friends and neighbors. But it kind of just goes unremarked upon by the doctor. This guy just picks him up and super speeds away. No sells it. There you go. And the kids being born, they raised the somewhat terrifying prospect earlier of these children being half synthezoid, and I just had some kind of body horror shivers all over at that idea. But they do appear to be quite human, entirely human. And yeah, she has twins, sure enough. And this is another part where I feel like I sort of just took it for granted that, oh, okay, she's pregnant. This is when she's going to have the twins. And I believe Sean and I even spoke openly in our last episode about, well, now Wanda's, she's pregnant with the kid. She's going to have the babies. And I'm like, that's us being comics nerds and knowing that Wanda has twins. Like, I'm not sure that most people watching the show who aren't those kind of comic nerds that we are, were expecting twins. They just knew she was pregnant. And I don't know, I guess I'm just curious if this came as a huge surprise to anyone that she has not one, but two babies.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, just to piggyback on a couple of things. So yeah, Vision breaks the kayfabe, goes, gets the doctor. The doctor comes in. Wanda has her baby. So this, it's like they're trying to hide all this stuff. But at this point, I kind of think the secret's out. You know, you've had a baby within 12 hours. You just saw Vision do super speed. You know, but it's, again, the doctor no-sells it, and Geraldine no-sells it. Like, this is all normal, and it's not. And I really think the scene outside with the neighbors is very, very creepy and very telling, as they were very secretive and they looked very uncomfortable. It's almost like I wonder, I start having all these theories. Okay, are these also creations of Wanda? Kind of like, you know, Vision's supposedly dead, and right now we're assuming he's still dead, but who knows? Are these individuals just players that, you know, Wanda has created to be part of this world? Or are they part of something more devious, or they're aware of something more devious, because clearly they're not associated with Geraldine, which we know we'll find out here shortly what's going on with Geraldine, that these folks are not part of Geraldine's universe. So yeah, that whole neighbor scene underrated creeped me out, just to be perfectly honest, because there's something really bad there.
All right. Well, I said I have it on the background, so I have the closed captioning up, and it's actually saying what Agnes is and Herb's lines are.
Yes.
And it's like, is she really in there? She went right in. Yes, she's in there. So they're giving it away. And they said, and her tummy was, did Geraldine. So they're gossiping, but it's not just.
But the point is, they're against Geraldine in my head, which makes me think that they're not good people, mm-hmm. maybe, or mm-hmm. they know they're, it's just really, really creepy.
Like they think Geraldine is going to mess up their plans.
Yeah, they're like the Rosemary, or like Tim brought up the Rosemary's Baby people. Maybe that's who these people are, actually.
Or something like, that they're,
yeah, they're the cult members.
They're in on. Yes. Yeah, that they may not be the ones responsible, but they're in on it.
Yes.
They're in on
it.
Exactly.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And they know that Geraldine is not like them.
Yes.
She's an outsider. Mm-hmm. Which
she doesn't have a home.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of us. All right, so Wanda and Geraldine look at the infant in the crib. Wanda remembers having a twin brother named Pietro. She sings a Sokovian lullaby to her boys, and Geraldine asks Wanda if Pietro was killed by Ultron. Back outside, Agnes and Herb tell Vision that Geraldine is brand new to the neighborhood with no family and no home. Back inside, Wanda asks Geraldine what she said, and Geraldine claims that that Wanda is a strong lady. Wanda doesn't believe her and asks what Geraldine said about Pietro. And Geraldine feigns ignorance. When Wanda says that Geraldine should leave, she tells her not to be like that. And Wanda sees Geraldine wearing a necklace with a sword insignia on it. Vision then asks Agnes what she means by Geraldine having no home. Herb says that Geraldine came there and they're all, and he won't finish the sentence. Wanda asks Geraldine what the symbol on the necklace is and who she really is. Agnes tells Herb to stop, very similar to the way Mrs. Hart said stop it in the first episode. Wanda asks Geraldine who she is and advances on her. Agnes tells Vision that she better go home to do her macrame and rides off on her bicycle. Herb goes back inside. Vision goes inside to find Wanda alone looking at their infants. Wanda says that Geraldine had to rush home. In the real world, outside a group of old buildings with the Parkview sign nearby, surrounded by an electronic barrier, Geraldine falls out of an electronic portal in the sky and hits the ground. Several jeeps and helicopters approach her, and the soldiers inside approach her with guns drawn. Noticeably, Geraldine's clothes are still the same. So, Tim, lots to break down in the final minutes of this episode, but give it a shot.
Holy shit! It feels like things are unraveling now, and this thing is maybe getting away from Wanda to the degree that she is in control of it. Okay, so that whole exchange just about Pietro, or Wanda gets to talking about her brother, and Geraldine is just asking somewhat innocent questions. Oh, I didn't know you had a brother. Where is he? Where did you learn that lullaby? And Wanda's like kind of casually talking about her history. And Geraldine kind of has that, what looks to me anyway, like a moment of realization, where she says, just very matter-of-factly, he was killed by Ultron. A line that would be totally normal in an MCU movie that feels so incredibly unnatural, the way that it just hits you in this episode. And you're going, oh my God. And I just think that just the way that this episode has been paced, the way it has played out, to get to that moment just feels really explosive and kind of propulsive, like where there's just that undercurrent of dread throughout the whole episode. And then she's like, oh no, wait a minute, this is all bullshit. I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? And it was like, I found myself fearing for Geraldine. And then that stinger where she just goes flying through the air, basically, and we see this weird sort of energy signature and a Jeep pick her up. It's like, all right, yep, that's what we're doing now. There's like a bubble of energy, and obviously that is where this world is taking place within. So it sort of felt like that was becoming more and more obvious, but to actually see it and to see how we get there was pretty thrilling. Mm-hmm. And how are we gonna just maintain this facade going forward? Like, Geraldine has been forcefully ejected from the program, essentially. Are Wanda and Vision, are they gonna feel some kind of way about that? Did Wanda do it? That's sort of the sense that I'm getting. The neighbors, how do they feel about this? Obviously they seemed like they were pointing out that Geraldine was an outsider and maybe they didn't want her there. And we're going to see coming up, I guess, the little exchange between Vision and Herb as well. That's somewhat interesting, but we'll get to that. Funny to see someone actually point out the symbol on Geraldine's pendant. With, once again, we're seeing the sword. I mean, it is what it is, the sword logo. I noticed that, I think it was it Agnes or Dottie had like a necklace or a brooch that looked like it had a strange pattern on it also.
Agnes has it in every episode so far.
Agnes, yeah. So I think here is where I kind of paused it and tried to get a good look at what that was, because it is pretty distinctive, and you think that's got to be something. And it almost looked like, I don't know, somebody on a horse, like a... It felt sort of...
It's like, know, a figure biblical. With two smaller figures. That's what some people say online.
Yeah, it seems sort of biblical and just... I don't know. I'll have to think on that one some more. But this packed a punch.
Yeah.
Just the way that they're leaving us here.
Yeah, lots of, and more hexagons and earrings and what have you. So, yeah, and this is the first time in the series we've heard Wanda's Sokovian accent come out as well.
Yes, yep.
You know, and has she really talked about also the death of Pietro?
And it was a stylistic thing that they did, so you wouldn't find it in like an episode recap, but notice the aspect ratio changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
They were talking about Ultron. All of a sudden, it's like, oh shit, we're not watching a sitcom and, you know, boxy 4:3 aspect ratio. This is now all of a sudden turned into a cinematic experience, because it's gone from TV show to movie, basically. And that was such a brilliant stylistic choice, I thought.
Also, I thought, before we get to you in a second, Sean, it kind of almost looked like the Wakandan force field, or whatever the is the keeping bubble kept Wakanda secret, and also the fact that Daydream Believer is playing at the end of the episode too, which is another interesting choice. So Sean, break down the end of this episode. This is, I mean, basically the entire episode was fun, but then all this stuff happened in the last few minutes.
Yeah, Tim brought the goods on his comments. I said before we started recording, I don't necessarily feel like this episode was as good as the first two, but it's interesting as we talked through it, we broke it down, and I really thought through it. Hell yeah, it's pretty damn good because it gives you more bang for your buck than the first two in terms of what we want to know and what we're trying to find out. So here's the thing, and I was thinking through this is, these people within Wanda's bubble, okay, I said maybe they're created by Wanda. I don't think they are, because if they were, then she would know Geraldine's not one of them, right? Mm-hmm. Or she would know that these people aren't on the up and up unless someone's controlling her. I think fully, and this is my theory, and I'm curious to see how this plays out. I definitely think that Ralph, who is what's her name? Agnes's husband that mm-hmm. we have not yet seen but brought up many times, is going to be a key catalyst to what plays out in this show. We have not seen him. She brings him up many, many times, but I do think he's probably the red person that we've been talking about. In full disclosure, probably Mephisto, which I have heard is going to be in the next, Doctor Strange or cinematic movie. So I'm thinking he plays a part in this perhaps, because I know long term, if I follow the comics, which they change up, he also has big impact long term on the two newborn babies as well, I believe. I think Geraldine being tossed out of the bubble was amazing. And it was a nice little peek under the sun, like it's the evil Truman Show. You remember last episode, they were looking at this universe through a TV, and now here she is popping out of the bubble. And the Wakanda thing I had thought about, that's interesting, about the force bubble. So my thought was, this is Wanda's power with the bubble around it, and this is a military base outside of it, kind of watching what's going on with it to keep aware of it, keep, you know, focus on it. Geraldine being part of S.W.O.R.D., obviously, if you've read things about this show, you already knew that, but it's nice to see kind of that reveal. Here's the military, so I assume that's a S.W.O.R.D. S.W.O.R.D. troops that came and got her, so leads me to believe, are we going to see Nick Fury in this show as well, since he is technically the leader of S.W.O.R.D. at this point, based on what we know. The mention of Pietro and how dark it turned at that point, and kind of that oh shit moment, Geraldine screwed up, was really good, which leads me to believe that they brought up Pietro. She brought Vision back, and leads me to believe and wonder if we're going to see Pietro inside Wanda's little universe as well. But yeah, all in all, good stuff. Great cliffhanger. And I can't wait to see what happens, where they go from here in episode 4, is because stuff's starting to unravel and just blow up, and I think we're in for a hell of a ride.
Mm-hmm. All right. Scott, what are your thoughts on the final moments of the episode?
So we went from, you know, sort of slapstick comedy the first 25 minutes, and the last 5 minutes, it kind of turned into a horror movie. As, you know, you see Wanda just flip on a dime when, like, Pietro was killed by Ultron, and it, like, awakened something within her, and the way she was advancing on Geraldine, that doesn't seem like a superhero to me, guys. That's all I'm saying. And I know Wanda in the comics is a very complicated person, and even in the MCU, what we've seen, she lost her brother. You know, her parents were destroyed by the Stark bomb, you know. So, like, and, like, she lost her love with Vision. And, you know, so it's definitely something, like, she knows nothing but pain. And when she said, when Geraldine said that, like, something flipped in her eyes. And she's like, what is that pendant on you? And, you know, was advancing on her in a menacing way. And I believe I mentioned this in our first episode, but there's a lot of parallels between this and the Twilight Zone episode, It's a Good Life, where the little kid is banishing people to the cornfield. That's what it feels like she just did to Geraldine. She banished her out of, you know, Parkview. And, you know, with her, I thought Geraldine was dead, to be honest, because, like, she gets sent out and she falls a far distance. So it's definitely something. But like you said, like, the I guess S.W.O.R.D. had defensive positions, so I think it's like the dome, like they have, there's a dome around this that Wanda created that just, you know, is her living out her life the way she wanted it to be. And we're going to see more next episode, and I can't wait. Like, Like, I don't know, you guys, I'm not gonna lie, you guys are sort of, with all the red that's been mentioned, you guys are sort of turning me to, like, maybe Mephisto is the one playing with her emotions, knew that she was not weak per se, but a broken person, and is manipulating her to get what he wants. So, you know, it's definitely
babies.
Something. Yeah. It's definitely something that we'll be looking out for in next week. It's just going to be awesome. Looks like we'll be going to the 80s the way this is going. So
maybe some growing pains. It's interesting, though. Every episode has given us a peek of where we're going next, except for this one. So are we going to the 80s at this point?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, where else could we go? I mean, if you look in the screen caps, you know, on like some websites like IMDb, they have the shot of Agnes in the with the perm and the leg warmers.
Okay. So, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. They also, you know, they also had this, the whole thing with Geraldine getting expelled. That was in the trailer for the show. So we kind of knew that was coming at some point. So, okay. So let's go around though. Final thoughts and what do we think we can expect in the next episode?
Can we talk about, and I didn't remember where it occurred necessarily, but just the conversation that Vision, little quick exchange Vision has with Herb and like some of the neighbors, where it seems like the neighbors are starting to give away what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And, he says, and I think it's Herb. We're all, and he stops, and Agnes is like trying to cut him off, and Vision is like, "You're all what?" I just want to know what everyone mentally filled in the blank as. To me, I took it as dead. We're all dead, is what he started to say.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
Yeah. I was going to say we're all dead or we're all just apparitions or something. That's where I was going with it. And yeah, I'm with you. It's something along those lines. They're not alive people.
My thought is not dead. So that's what makes her different.
Yes.
I'm getting that word was trapped.
Okay. That's the other one. I thought the word could have been trapped that he was trying not to say, but I was just curious what everybody's like first instinct was there.
I immediately thought Mephisto and hell. They're all in hell. somewhere along that line.
That's
so
awfully bleak, but maybe.
I don't know. I can't wait to find out because it could go so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of those different ways, though, any final thoughts and what we could see in the next episode, Sean?
Well, I would assume if we're going into the 80s, we're obviously going to see the twins growing up. So if they're going a decade later, they will now be, 10 or 11, whatever year they depend on going. So we'll see that. We'll definitely see more of Wanda's universe. I assume we're going to see more of the outside world, real world, I would call it, I guess, with Geraldine, which isn't her real name, and S.W.O.R.D. and what's going on in that end of the thing. So I just think they're going to unpack a lot in episode 4. And I don't be surprised, I think, if in episode 4 they mention Pietro. Mm-hmm. I think we definitely start seeing Quicksilver in this, at least for an episode or two. I would not be surprised.
One thing that we don't know yet is how they're going to age the twins, too. You know, I don't know if it's in the 80s or the 90s. They do go trick-or-treating because they showed us, you know, them in their other costumes. Like
I would guess that would probably be the 80s because those are the very 80s costumes that you see in the previews. Yeah. I would guess that's the 80s.
All right. Scott, what are your final thoughts and what you may think we could see in the next episode?
I personally love the episode. It was just another building block that we're going to see of this bigger puzzle that hopefully is finished by the end of this first season, because I think this might just be a one and done show. It hasn't been already announced of season 2 like Loki, so I have a feeling a couple of these Marvel shows will just be one and done, sadly. But I feel we're going to see a lot more of the outside thing. I hope we get to see more of Geraldine. You know, maybe we see some familiar faces, which we already know that the girl, Kat Dennings character from Thor, is in the show, and we haven't seen an ounce of her yet. So I think we may see like some split time between Wanda's universe, which she's been building in the outside world, and be like, this is what the hell's going on in the next episode.
Interesting. Tim, what are your final thoughts on what we could see in the next episode?
I agree with that. I think we're going to start to see more of that outside world. I don't think it'll be like a 50-50 split right away, but certainly more than we have seen thus far. I love this episode. I think it's my favorite so far. I think this is where the show kind of becomes the show. Where you're like, all right, now we're getting some real developments here. And I just think that, I still feel like the Grim Reaper, that character, the Marvel character, the Grim Reaper, is involved in some form or fashion. Now, I don't want to discount the Mephisto of it all either, just knowing that, that he is apparently slated to show up in the Doctor Strange sequel. At least that's consistent with what I have heard and what Sean is thinking as well. So maybe we don't get a big Mephisto reveal here, but maybe somebody like a Grim Reaper is like working on his behalf. So they kind of hint at that without giving away that big secret. Sort of like with the, you know, the Thanos just post-credit or mid-credit scene and, you know, Avengers 1. Maybe Mephisto is going to be the next big bad. I just, how would they do him in these, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I mean, he's the literal fucking devil, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I hope they don't make him like this big, like, cloud thing like the Fantastic Four did to Galactus.
Yeah, he's or like Green Lantern with parallax.
Yeah. Right, not a diarrhea cloud. Got to be an actual character, right? You would hope.
I think it could be done. I mean, they did Thanos pretty strong, so I'm pretty sure they could do Mephisto if they wanted to do it right.
It's just, I think it's more so the implications more than the character himself. I mean, it just, it brings up a lot of complicated questions that I didn't realize maybe the MCU was willing to engage with. But
well, it would be a bizarre choice as like the big bad for kind of like Phase 4, right?
Phase 4, yeah.
Big, yeah. That'd be a weird one,
that'd
I think.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But if they're going to be doing, I don't know, a lot of multiverse type stuff, and if he's going to factor into Doctor Strange, the Doctor Strange sequel, which is dealing with all that, it's just, he's a big character, I guess is my point. And,
He is the devil.
There's a lot of
also rumors of Kang the Conqueror coming in soon, too.
Yeah, so that's where I'm lost. It's like, okay, how's it all going to play out? I don't know how Mephisto isn't a part of things with the twins and all. I mean, there's just so much that's playing out like the comics do, so I'm kind of holding on to a little bit of hope with that, but they could switch it up because they usually do sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, it may not be exactly the comics interpretation of Mephisto, where he is their version of Satan. it might be he is a demonic entity of some sort, but they don't go that far with it. I don't know, but that sort of dilutes the character at the same time. So anyway, I don't want to hang my hat on that theory just yet. But I might get there. I might get there.
Either way, I think Ralph is a part of whatever's happening, whether it's Mephisto or not.
Yeah. So. And you know, that's an interesting point too, because he embodies one of the great sitcom tropes of the unseen character, right? Correct. Mm-hmm. Where they exist,
Maris.
They exist in the show. Yep. But you never, if you see them, you never see their face. You know, you might hear their voice. They're talked about, but they're not like played by anybody, you know? And as soon as we see him, and that kind of breaks the conceit of the sitcom, I think that's where they're going to be tipping their hand. So I would agree that there's something, probably something to him.
And the other thing I would add, one last thing I would add is I do think at some point in this show that Geraldine's powers that we in the comics know she has, I do think they're going to reveal themselves at some point, because I think she's going to be in this universe for a while, the Marvel universe. Well, yeah. So
didn't they say that she looked like she was a paramedic? Or they made something that was like an inside joke with it. when she was talking to Wanda.
Yeah, they did, and I'm trying to remember.
I'm blanking on it right now, but I remember hearing that, and I was like, that like unlocked something in my brain. But yeah, they definitely, it was like a subtle hint. It's like, if you get it, you get it type deal. I don't know if it's going to lead to anything else, but yeah.
So many questions.
So many questions, but we get a, you know, we have quite a bit more episodes to go.
Okay, wait. Sorry. What's our next commercial going to be? It's going to be set in the 80s. They've got to do a Where's the Beef, right?
There's a lot. Listen, the 80s had a lot of great commercials. It could be anything.
They could do it with the cow you guys were talking about.
That I oh, my God. A commercial.
I don't know.
Watch that happen. That'd be insane.
Well, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, yeah, we've had a toaster, a watch, and soap.
A new Coke joke, maybe.
Maybe. You know, less filling tastes great. I don't know.
Crystal Pepsi. Who knows?
My God.
Lots to unpack. Well, what do you out there think? You know, let us know. Comment on the Facebook post when we put it up there on the PlayStation page. But that's going to wrap up this episode of Pop Goes to the Couch WandaVision. I want to thank Sean, Scott, and Tim, as always, getting together. I am Andy Afton. Thank you for listening, and we'll check you on the next episode. Take care.